This is the Wild Clearwater Country Show. The usual disclaimer that the views expressed here don't represent necessarily those of KRFP or any organization, conservation group, or otherwise. But before we get into today's show, I thought I'd play a little bit of music. Start off with the opening track from Alton's Local Ground CD. Anyway, a little bit of a Gaelic, a little bit of Irish music, actually, similar to Scots Gaelic. So here we go with a little bit of Alton. Back, KRFP Moscow, Wild Clearwater Country Show. Just kick this off with a couple of announcements here. Items of interest. The Bureau of Land Management is accepting comments, public comments, on its resource management plan for the Cottonwood Field Office. That includes everything within Clearwater, Latah, Nez Perce, and much of the northern part. Maybe all of Idaho County. That's managed by the Bureau of Land Management. Ironically, there are some inholdings there. There's an area around Marshall Mountain, high country, surrounded by the Payette National Forest, as is the area around Elk City, which is surrounded by the Nez Perce National Forest, and some other areas near the Salmon River next to the Nez Perce Forest down there between Riggins and Lucille. And also the lower Salmon River Canyon, part of that is managed by the Bureau, a very narrow corridor down there. So they are coming up with a resource management plan. If people are interested in this, they can write comments to comments, C-O-M-M-E-N-T-S, at Cottonwood, all one word, RMP, Cottonwood, RMP is all one word, .com. Or if you want some more information, it's info at Cottonwood, RMP.com. To get some information. So anyway, there you go. For some information about the Bureau of Land Management's plan. I've looked this over, and of course, as in most plans, they overemphasize things like logging and mining and grazing on the public lands and don't pay heed to the natural processes. There's about a bunch of paranoia in this plan about fire and things like that. BLM really needs to start looking at lands being managed for public purposes rather than private special interests. So if you want to weigh in, you can do that. Also, if you have questions about it, you could also look and contact Friends of the Clearwater, a local environmental group, 882-9755, or go on to their website, and they have a new one at friendsoftheclearwater.org, www.friendsoftheclearwater, all one word, .org, and there should be some information there. If not, you can call them and find out more about this resource management plan. Comments are due on the 27th. You can have them postmarked that date or emailed by that date, so there's not a lot of time. But if you're interested in that issue, please contact BLM or Friends of the Clearwater looking at it. And I thought it'd be another little announcement. The Forest Service just made a decision in the same area we're talking about near Elk City to log a huge logging project, but it's going to cost them a lot of money. Well, why would the Forest Service do this? Although we know the agency is a little bit nuts. The question is why they would do this. There isn't really a good answer other than they want to get rid of trees that have been killed by beetles. Now, beetles are a natural part of the process up there. This country has largely forested, or was, by lodgepole pine, and they're often killed by beetles, have beetle infestations. The mountain pine beetle is a natural part of lodgepole pine forests, and fires are also play a role there. They want to go up there and log in the upper Red River watershed, a place that has between 3 and 4 square miles of road per square mile of land, which is extreme. And if anybody's ever seen a satellite photo or an aerial photo of that part of the world, you wonder if there's anything left to log. Of course, they keep the leaf strips, we call them, along the roads fairly intact, but everything else has been really hammered. Well, they have this stupid project they just approved called the Red Pines Project, going and logging all this dead wood that's going to cost them money. And the Forest Service almost got the Whopper of the Week for their promotion of this project, because some believe that there's a grave wildfire threat nearby Elk City from these dead trees. Well, the interesting thing about lodgepole pines is they tend to be more flammable when they're alive. The needles, the volatile oils and needles, can you say turpentine, something that comes from conifer trees, are more flammable than after a tree is dead. And there's really not much one can do in a lodgepole pine forest about a lot of the fire danger. In fact, fire severity in lodgepole pines, and the research has shown this from Yellowstone and elsewhere, a large body of research that fires there are a function of climate. Fire severity is a function of climate rather than fuel amounts. So anyway, there's a project just approved, a timber sale, a big, giant timber sale just approved by the Forest Service, and it doesn't look like anybody may want to buy this gigantic timber sale, or may only buy parts of it, the green parts. So an interesting and foolish proposal from the U.S. Forest Service. I suspect that maybe some of the conservation groups around in the local area may decide to appeal that decision and possibly take the Forest Service to court for being so stupid and wasting taxpayer dollars. Well, there you have it, the quick announcements. We'll get into a little bit of a Thanksgiving program here later on. I thought I would shift gears quite a little bit now, and we're going to play a song from an album, one of the great bands of the last 20 years or so, Fugazi. And I think we'll start with a song from there. We'll try one called Long Division, track number 7 on this album. So you're listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show on KRFP Moscow, Idaho. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show here on KRFP Moscow, Idaho, 92.5 on your radio dial. Yes, in the big, wet, rainy village of Moscow right now. And the weather looks like we're going to have much of the same, although the chances of rain will be decreasing tomorrow. It should increase way up to 90% tomorrow evening. And throughout the weekend, about a 50-50 chance right now, longer-term forecast. That may change. Well, this is the pre-Thanksgiving Day Wild Clearwater Country Show. So, a little bit of a shift to talk about some interesting news stories. And yes, we do have a Whopper of the Week to award a little bit later on today. But I thought I would make a list. You know, this is a list season getting near the end of the year. And, of course, if you are of the Celtic persuasion and still follow the old ways, it's actually, this is the first month, November. So, and of the new year. So it's list time as we enter the holiday season. And, of course, everybody lists what they're thankful for. Well, here in the Wild Clearwater Country, I have a few things that I am thankful for. One, obviously, is that salmon still come up the Clearwater River and spawn and jump up Selway Falls. So salmon are a good thing. Steelhead and bull trout, West Slope cutthroat trout, all these native fish still make it up, though not in the numbers that they used to come. The fish that go to the ocean in particular are severely depleted, but I am thankful we still have a few of them. I'm thankful for seeing wolves and wolf track in this country. I hear them frequently when I go in the backcountry, and sometimes I'll see their tracks, and on a rare occasion catch a glimpse of a wolf, but that's not very common. So there's still some wolves. I'm thankful for the reports of the grizz. We still may have a few up in the upper reaches coming over from the Montana side. It was largely a mystery of why they disappeared from the Selway and then further south Salmon River country, which is as wild as any place in the lower 48. I suspect it has to do with the fact we did not have a large national park in this part of the world like they did around Glacier and Yellowstone. But glad that we still have some wolverines and harlequin ducks fishing on the Locksaw for, I guess, fishing probably is not the right word, diving in there, getting those little mollusks. They don't eat fish exactly, but they eat mollusks, little invertebrates that cling to the rocks on that swift water. So harlequin ducks diving on the clear water. I'm also thankful that as of yet, we have not seen some bad bills pass in the name of wilderness here in Idaho. A couple bills that need a lot of work on them, and we'll report a little bit later some news when we award the Whopper of the Week that maybe these bad bills won't pass. The Central Idaho Economic Development Recreation Act, which would give away land that is owned by all citizens of the U.S. inside an area that's supposed to be protected, Idaho's crown jewel, the Sawtooth National Recreation Area. One of the problems of that bill, I'm thankful it hasn't passed, nor the WIHEE legislation, which would set up a process that would give ranchers and others much more influence on decisions made for lands owned by all Americans, a bill that amends the Wilderness Act for those areas, making it weaker, giving special rights to outfitters and guides and horseback riders, and also not protecting the wild and scenic river corridors in that area. They say they're going to designate wilderness and wild scenic rivers. Well, it's sort of a fib. So I'm glad that hasn't passed. I'm glad that we still have free-flowing rivers and the South Fork and the Middle Forks of the Clearwater. Unfortunately, we still don't have, we need to free the North Fork, but that's another discussion. But we still have, of the three, of the four tributaries of the main stem Clearwater River are wild and free. And in sort of this fringe country, the Wild Clearwater Country, we have this upper St. Joe country is still free. and wild and flows into Coeur d'Alene Lake, and we have a lot of the Salmon River country, some of the streams that begin in the high country, depending on what side of the mountain they fall, whether or not they go into the Salmon River or the Clearwater River. So a couple other things to be thankful for there. Wildlife, fish, and the vegetation. The fact that fire still burns. It's been a great fire year, although you wouldn't know it by looking outside today. Something else to be thankful for. So with that in mind, I think we'll again shift a little bit. Music break. Come back. We do have a peak of the week also to talk about here in the Wild Clearwater Country Show and some rather other interesting news items. But again, make it very eclectic. Again, I'm going to shift gears once again and play some music. A little bit different this time. We started with some Alton Irish music, and now we're going and we got into some Fugazi. One of the great bands. They started Discord Records, I believe. And now into some music from Louisiana. Let's say Le Bon Temps Roulé, a little bit of Cajun here from Beau Soleil. I think we may play a couple tracks here eventually. We'll start with the lead song on here. Let's say Le Bon Temps Roulé. Let's say Bon Temps Roulé. And we'll see how it goes. A little bit of English there. And then we're going to switch over into one of their French songs. Flammes d'enfer means the flames of hell. So here we go with Beau Soleil. You're listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show on KRFP Moscow, Idaho. Played a little bit of music there from Beau Soleil. One song, a little bit in English, the other in French. Very interesting little song there. I noticed C'était Bambon, so it was really interesting. They used some of the old-time French in conjugating what would now be incorrectly the to-go verb, because they're using it just like they do still in Canada and Quebec today. And, of course, they were the Cajuns. The Cajuns, it's a corruption of from the region of France, Acadie. Les Acadiens became Les Cajuns, corrupted. And some of the music they play, Zydeco, is actually corruption, for your interest, of green bean, snap bean. They put a liaison in French, it's where you, just a little grammatical thing, where one wasn't supposed to be for the word green beans, which is haricot. So they call it les haricots, and it became Zydeco music. Well, there's your music lesson for the week. Well, let's getting back to some of the issues. Very interesting issues and very interesting things that are happening here. I read in the paper something fascinating. Seems like there's another animal. Seems like the more we know, the more we don't know. Another animal has joined the self-aware list of creatures. Previously, humans, of course, thought we were the only self-aware critters. And but that doesn't seem to be the case. A lot of research in the past 10, 20, 30 years has shown some other animals are very self-aware as well. And there's the mirror test. Now, only certain animals have been able to pass this mirror test. When you look in the mirror, most animals think that they're seeing another animal, not themselves. But there are a few creatures that have passed the mirror test. Of course, humans being one, they primp in front of the mirror. Chimpanzees, I believe both species, the pygmy or bonobos and the regular chimpanzees, recognize themselves in the mirror. Pretty amazing. And it's believed dolphins, certain species of dolphins, can do that as well. A little harder to test for dolphins in, of course, a water environment where they live. A little bit more difficult, but they think they pass. But recently, we found out that a big animal, the largest land mammal, of course they did this with Indian rather than African elephants, Indian elephants are also self-aware. they examine the mirror and sort of primped in front of the mirror to examine their teeth, and they put an X with a mark above the eye of one of the elephants, and the elephant went there and tried to remove that mark because they knew it didn't belong above their eye. And get this, the elephant realized, the mirror, everything is reversed. It realized it was above, it was able to make that interesting change in its brain there to realize, going from right to left and left to right, how mirrors work, and tried to rub off that mark above its eye. And that's pretty fascinating, that to have that ability to think abstractly in that way. And the scientists believe that animals that are self-aware tend to live in very complex societies, very social animals, that these kind of complex behaviors are related to more complex societies. Of course, elephants tend to be a fairly long-lived species. An elephant, the elephant named Happy, in the zoo did this. Very, very, very interesting. Elephant now joins the list of the cognitive elite, as it were. Well, this is not only interesting, but it's nice to have learned this. But I think the really important question is this. How will this change how human beings treat elephants? That is the question, I guess. That is the question. Well, on to another bit of natural history, this time right here within the Clearwater Country. It's time for the peak of the week. And this mountain is one of the more recognized features in the Wild Clearwater Country, especially at the northern end. It tends to be quite prominent throughout the northern half of the Wild Clearwater Country. And it is a mountain that's easily recognized, not because it is spectacular or has such a unique shape, but more because of its big, massive size. This mountain is one of the wildest areas, actually, in the North Fork drainage. Roadless area is named after it. And the reason this area is wild, though not huge by Idaho standards, is because it is almost round rather than having roads that intrude into the wild country on having more of an amoeba shape. This is a round shape, so the distance to the perimeter is rather distant, relatively speaking. As I said, the mountain itself is a very prominent feature, and in fact, the ridge is so big that arguably it extends across this roadless area into an adjacent roadless area over a pass called a Mush Saddle. So if anybody knows much about the Wild Clearwater Country, can probably guess what peak we're talking about. It is 7,139 feet high, an area that reportedly had grizzly bears in the 1980s when the Idaho Fish and Game Department did a little bit of work surveying for grizzly in the North Fork of the Clearwater, an area now that is home to moose, elk, mountain goats, and has, of course, the streams that drain from this mountain have cutthroat trout, and some even have some bull trout. This past year, it was an area of a fairly large fire that the Forest Service allowed to burn. Well, this is Pot Mountain, located in the Pot Mountain roadless area. One of the more amazing mountains, just a big, long ridge. It's really distinctive, kind of this big, massive, just a big, massive block. Seems like a big block of granite got set down there. And sort of in the middle, because the North Fork of the Clearwater goes almost entirely around this mountain. It starts sort of at its northeastern end, or it's actually far eastern end. Actually, the Clearwater comes down from well north of it, so way northeast. And this big block mountain sticks way out there, so it goes all the way around it, and then it ends up at its northwest end of it, of this big block sitting out there, Pot Mountain. As I mentioned before, Mush Saddle area, if you keep on going, the whole Pot Mountain big ridge extends probably 20 miles. It's broken by Muschattel itself all the way from Buckingham Point on the southwest all the way up to Fly Hill on the northeast. So that's a reach of about 20 miles there. And the high point there, Pot Mountain itself at 7,000, over 7,000 feet high. But some of the other major points along this big giant ridge include Cold Springs Peak, which is in actually the Mallard-Larkins roadless area just to the north a little bit. It's about 6,700 feet. Buckingham Point, 6,700 feet as well. In fact, Buckingham Point's only a foot higher than Cold Springs Peak, and Fly Hill, which is 6,300 feet in elevation. So there you have it. The peak of the week in the Wild Clearwater Country, Pot Mountain. Quite a unique chunk of land. Well, before we announce the winner of the Whopper of the Week, I thought I'd play a little bit more from Beau Soleil. We're going to play a couple more songs before we go into Between the Lines, a news program here in the Wild Clearwater Country Show on our Thanksgiving. I guess I'm thankful for good old Cajun music here. So play a couple more songs in French. The first one I'm going to play is about the southern. It's the English translation is the south of Louisiana, or le sud de la Louisiane. Here we go with some Beau Soleil.
We'll be right back.
back with the Wild Clearwater Country Show. A little bit of music in the break there. Again, some more Beau Soleil from Le Sud de la Louisiane. Yeah, a little bit of Cajun there. Talking about the crocodiles and the squirrels and whatnot down there in the Bayou country. And some nice music there. Well, it's getting to be that time. Yes, it is. Oh, a little bit of a drum roll there. Uh-huh. Because we are going to be awarding a Whopper of the Week. And it's about that time of year. I have to give a little background to this Whopper of the Week. That time of year when the elected representatives in this, what has been dubbed the Do-Nothing Congress, at the last minute try to take care of business, as it were, in spite of the fact that this Congress has met fewer times than, I think, any in history, fewer days, and has virtually done nothing, except the bad things it has done, I suppose. One could argue that passage of some of these bills, the military bill that Bush wanted, allows him to suspend habeas corpus and become even greater than the King of England was, you know, over 800 years ago. If you call that a bad thing, and I certainly do. But they've done very little, the Do-Nothing Congress here. And now they have to get a lot of bills passed in the to do the citizens' business. I wonder if there's a way we could take back their paychecks if they don't do anything. But anyway, in this environment, in this milieu, as it were, a senator from Idaho decided to take advantage of the situation and try to do a legislative dirty trick. It's called a rider. It is putting something totally unrelated onto another bill. And since time is of the essence, it seems that the appropriations bill to keep the government running hasn't passed yet. And they have what is called a continuing resolution to continue spending at the levels they were before. And that's why the government continues on beyond the fiscal year. And for the U.S. government, the fiscal year begins on October 1st. So the U.S. government is operating under what's called a continuing resolution. And Congress has not yet passed the budget for the 2007 fiscal year, which is right now. And as I said, Senator from Idaho, Larry Craig, because he doesn't agree with a decision by a federal judge that said that the government isn't doing all it can to protect salmon. It needs to look at some other options. Salmon and steelhead are declining. U.S. government has sacred obligations with the Plateau Native peoples, such as the Nez Perce Indian tribe and others, that there will be fish in these rivers. And we haven't lived up to that obligation as citizens of this country. And the judge recognized that all wasn't being done to restore these endangered runs of salmon and steelhead in the Snake River Basin. And the Clearwater is the main tributary to the Snake River. It even has a slightly greater flow in terms of water than the much larger basin of the Salmon River. And those are the strongholds of wild salmon and steelhead in the state of Idaho. And in fact, the Snake River was the stronghold in the entire Columbia River Basin, these tributaries, in particular the Clearwater and the Salmon River tributaries. So Senator Larry Craig has tried to remove the decision by the judge and say, well, through a little legislative maneuver called a rider, and stick it onto an appropriations or a spending bill. And most people call that dirty pool, and I would have to agree. So for trying to help the actual process of salmon extinction, Larry Craig gets our Whopper of the Week. And just an interesting side note, it looks like Congress is going to punt And so he may not even have a chance to hook that onto an appropriations bill, because this Congress is going to punt to the next one and just continue with the continuing resolution until the next Congress meets at the beginning of 2007 and dump it in the new Congress's lap. At least that's the rumor going around Capitol Hill. That's probably what's going to happen. So there you have it. Whopper of the week goes to Senator Larry Craig, who's no friend of Salmon, who has in the past received a Whopper of the week for removing money for the study of salmon and the Fish Passage Center and other things like that. He gets the Whopper of the week for looking at special interests as being more important than the public interest. Well, we're just about out of time in the Wild Clearwater Country Show. As I promised, I would end with a song here from Beau Soleil, and it's about a monkey on the back. I thought it'd be an interesting song to have for a Thanksgiving, although it's not exactly the same kind of animal. I couldn't find a turkey song, so I thought, well, here's a song about a monkey. Close enough. So here we go with a little Beau Soleil and Macaque sur mon dos, a little song about a monkey on the back.
Ça c'est tout vrai. Tu peux pas faire à quoi la neige est noire. Tu peux me dire nos rapports quand le soleil est bien chaud. Mais tu peux pas mettre ma caque sur mon dos. Tu me quittes moi sobre tous les jours. Tu vas ici là-bas avec un élan. Après toi t'as démisé. Tu dis moi je suis le seul. Ta grand-maman, mais ta grand-maman laisse pas la poche m'en pas. Quelle petite fille, c'est un chose, peux papa qui met de l'argent, mais tu peux pas mettre ma carte sur mon dos. Parce que